The scripture reading for this morning is Psalm 141. Psalm 141. We will read the whole chapter. It's a psalm of David when he was, it's likely written by him when he was running away from Saul, facing attacks, where Saul was seeking David's life. David prays for protection and for deliverance from all evil here, so we read it in connection with Lord's Day 52 and the sixth petition. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. And so far do we read God's holy and inspired word. On the basis of that passage and others, we have the instruction of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52. Lord's Day 52. My plan is to preach on question and answer 127 this week, and then next week to do question and answers 128 and 129. But I'll read the whole Lord's Day today. Question and answer 127. Which is the sixth petition? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. What doth the word Amen signify? Amen signifies, it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him. It has been said there are no atheists in foxholes. That was a saying that began during World War I. You can find it in press reports from World War I, and then used also in World War II. There are no atheists in foxholes. A foxhole is a vertical bottle-shaped hole in the earth that a soldier would use for a fight. especially in those wars we spoke of, the idea is you could stand in the hole and your shoulders and your head would be above ground, so then you could fire your gun at the enemy. And then if the enemy would get too close to you and you felt threatened, you could duck down into that hole that was wider at the bottom and you could have safety from enemy fire. There are no atheists in foxholes. An atheist is one who does not believe that God exists. He believes there is no God. Now, the saying is there are no atheists in foxholes because when one was in a foxhole during those wars, they would be praying to God. Even men that often didn't pray would be praying to God for protection as that enemy came near, crying out to him. He sees he needs help. His very life's threatened. Well, we are in a far greater spiritual battle today, and we certainly must pray. That physical battle we talked about, those were very, very great battles they were in, but the spiritual battle we are in now is great too. We need protection. We have enemies like the devil, the world, our own sinful nature, that are seeking to destroy us spiritually, wanting to bring us into sin, and really wanting to keep us in those sins unto destruction. We're in a great spiritual battle, really in a foxhole, as it were, and we need protection and strengthening in that foxhole that we are in. We need strength for the battle. In Lord's Day 51, we saw that we needed the forgiveness of sins. We need God to declare to us that we are not guilty legally, but that we are righteous legally before Him in Christ. We need forgiveness. We also need God's deliverance within us. This means that we need protection from those spiritual enemies that are seeking to destroy us spiritually. We need strength to live thankfully unto God, obeying Him to His glory and praise, all in thankfulness for the salvation Christ has earned for us. So may we see that today, and may we learn to pray for protection from those enemies and strength to serve God. May we learn to pray this regularly, every day, many times per day. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. David essentially prayed that petition in Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4. He cries out to God, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity." May we learn to pray that same petition today for protection and strength. May we learn to pray that through the word preached. May He work powerfully in our hearts by His grace now. Let's consider the text under the theme, praying for protection and strength. Praying for protection and strength. First, the humble acknowledgement. Second, the desperate petition. And third, God's great provision. First, this morning, the humble acknowledgement. When we pray in the sixth petition, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," we are acknowledging to God that we have enemies, evil enemies. We're confessing that we have evil enemies before God. The Heidelberg Catechism talks about these evil enemies. Answer 127 speaks of our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh that cease not to assault us. Notice that the Catechism uses the word mortal to describe these enemies. That these enemies are mortal means that they desire to bring death to us. Spiritual death. They want us to be dead in sin now, continuing in sin in unrepentantly, and they want us to die in sin forever in hell. They're mortal enemies. They cease not to assault us, that is, attack us and try to bring us into this unrepentance and keep us there. They don't stop all our days long. They're mortal enemies, and thus they're very wicked. They're very evil enemies. Now understand exactly who these enemies are that we speak of in the sixth petition. Who are these evil enemies, and how, understand how powerful they are. The first enemy the Catechism speaks of is the devil. The devil's very name shows to us that he is our mortal enemy and an evil enemy. His name Satan means adversary or enemy. The name devil means liar. He lies to us. The devil lies to us believers, trying to bring us to forsake belief in Jesus Christ and walk in those sins that our sinful nature is especially attracted to and not care about it. The world is the second enemy, evil enemy, that the Catechism speaks of there, that of those enemies that cease not to assault us. The world is the whole group of unbelieving, wicked, reprobate men on the earth. And wicked men seek to bring us into sin. Why do they do that? Why is the world like that? Well, the world hates it when they see us walking in God's ways. Because when we walk in God's ways, that life is a constant witness against their life. And it shows that they are doing the wrong thing and that they will face the judgment of God. So they don't want to see that. They don't like it. So they'll do anything to bring us to join them and walk as they walk. Our enemies are the devil, the world, and last, the enemy that's listed in the answer 127, is our own flesh, or our own sinful nature. When man sinned in the garden, God punished man by giving to him a sinful nature. That sinful nature was passed down from Adam to us, and that sinful nature is completely, totally opposed to God. Wants nothing to do with him. Now, it's true that we have been regenerated. So we, believers, we have a spiritual life in us. God has implanted that life there, the life of Christ. But we also still have a sinful nature in us. That new man wants us to say yes to God. But the old man, that sinful nature that's in us still, wants us to say no to God and yes to sin. Our sinful nature desires sin and to continue in sin, and sin brings destruction. It brings destruction if one is not delivered. So with the sixth petition, we speak to God about our evil enemies. But there's more. In the sixth petition, we speak of evil enemies and also of the temptations they bring. The temptations they bring. What is a temptation? A temptation is an effort of our enemies to bring us to sin by making sin look good and the good look bad. Remember Eve in the garden and what Satan did there. Satan tempted Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan, the enemy of Eve, sought to bring her to do that by making sin look good. He told her, eat of it and you'll be as God. He made sin look good and the good look bad. He made not eating of it look foolish. The liar was looking to destroy Adam and Eve spiritually with that temptation. Now our enemies tempt us today too, seeking to destroy us. And they do so often during times of difficulty or times of trouble. That's what happened in David's life. David's enemies tempted him at a difficult time in his life. We read Psalm 141. David wrote Psalm 141 during a time of trouble. He was likely running away from Saul when he wrote this psalm. Verse 7, David indicates that his enemies brought him and his friends near to the grave often. Verse 7 says, our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. The idea being they'd been brought near to death often. And verse 9 refers to the traps that these men would set to try to kill him. Verse 9, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the gins of the workers of iniquity. So David was running for his life, and he had little food. He was suffering greatly. According to verse 4, in contrast to himself who was suffering, his enemies had dainties. And that word simply refers to riches, prosperities. So as he's hiding in caves, doing everything that he can to survive, hardly has any food, his enemies who don't serve God have lots. The devil was tempting David during these hard times. He was tempting David to use his mouth wrongly and have wrong thoughts about God. Verses 3 and 4 imply that. David says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep thou the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. So the devil was tempting David to have evil thoughts about God during this hard time in his life. He was tempting David to start to doubt that God was caring for him. He was tempted to bring David to think there really was not this loving God that was taking care of him, and to think, might as well do as I please. God's not worth my service, if there even is a God. The devil is also tempting David to complain with his mouth during these hard times and to say, nothing good ever comes to me. Look at how long I've been on the run. Look at all my troubles. This is horrible. Nothing good ever comes. The devil wanted David to complain and keep going on in that complaining in unrepentance, to become bitter against God. Also, the devil was using wicked men to tempt David during this time of trouble in his life. We get that from verse 4. Verse 4, David says, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. David is saying in verse 4, let me not seek to live like these wicked men when I see their dainties, when I see their riches and their prosperities. May I not seek their riches and then try to live like them. Saul and his men, the men that were chasing David here, they weren't people that prayed and relied on God, truly relied on him. They were men that were cruel and killed anybody that threatened them. They coveted power, coveted riches. Yet they were doing well physically. They didn't have to hide in the caves. They had plenty of food to eat every day. The devil was tempting David using those men and saying to him, David, serving God's a waste of time. Live like these men. That's the good way. You'll have riches. You'll be just fine. Just do what they're doing. Look at how comfortable they are. Our spiritual enemies use times of difficulty to tempt us to walk in wrong ways as well. Think about sickness. Maybe there's some here that face sickness or pain or some kind of affliction right now. The devil tempts us during those times to think, God's not with you. There's no loving God. Look what you're going through. If there was a loving God, you wouldn't have this happening to you. Your supposed God isn't worth your service, isn't worth your time, isn't worth anything. In hard times, our enemies tempt us to forsake God's paths and His ways and act like the wicked who seem to be doing just fine. The devil and our enemies tempt us to think, why pray? It's not helping anyway. You still got the same problems you had yesterday. We're tempted to seek wealth in those difficult times, thinking that the wealth will help us. The wealth will be the answer to our problems, because then at least we'll have medical attention, the attention we need. The wealthy wicked seem happy. Kids, your enemies tempt you also during difficult times. And this applies to you younger kids, but also to high school students and to college students. You think about maybe a certain time in your life, or even right now, where you maybe have a hard time fitting in. Maybe you go to college, young people, and you have a hard time fitting in with others, and you feel kind of alone. Maybe we ought not to try to fit in that environment anyway, but you get the point. You feel kind of alone there. And the temptation can be, do what they do, even though it's wrong. Do what this person does, go along with them, even though you know it's wrong to do. But the devil says, just do it once, it's all right. And it's good, because you do need friends, you do need somebody to be with. Go to those places with them just once. And the world says the same thing, do it, this is the fun way. Your spiritual enemies want you to go to those places and with a wrong group just once, and then say, I'm just going to do it one more time. And then a week later, oh, it wasn't so bad, I'm going to do it again. And slowly, you become comfortable in that way. You continue in that way, a wrong way. So our enemies certainly use difficult situations to bring great temptations to us. And again, their goal is, they're willing to work slowly, but the goal is to bring you into sin and keep you in it unto destruction. They're mortal, evil enemies. But it's not just the case that our enemies use difficult times to tempt us. Our enemies also tempt us during times of prosperity and health too. Right now, it might be the case that some of you are experiencing wealth. You're healthy. You have a good job. There's lots of time for entertainment. And there are so many different entertainments right at our fingertips. Our enemies use this as an occasion to tempt us and attack us as well. They want us to focus so much on our job or on the entertainments that we neglect things like catechism and family worship. And they're willing to work very slowly so that those things in our lives, those important spiritual activities, spiritual things, are slowly pushed to the side and pushed a little to the side more and more. They want us to let games and the focus on our job become so important that there's no time for preparing for catechism. There's really no time for family worship. The enemies want to push these things slowly out of our lives until they disappear and they're really gone. And the world encourages that too. The world helps the devil with that. They push getting money, and they push getting and having these entertainments and these games. They push those things. It's all important. And the sinful nature cries out during those times and cries out, these entertainments are They're not wrong of themselves. These games are not wrong. They're good, actually. In a sense, they're right. Many of those games are not wrong of themselves, but they push them to try to remove the important spiritual activities from our life. Their goal is that we would forget God. As those spiritual activities are put out more and more, we would forget God and we would continue in certain sins in our life, forgetting Christ. That's the goal, and we see how that can happen. We experience that. We all have experienced that in different ways in our life. So in the sixth petition, we acknowledge that we have these evil enemies who bring temptations. And now, know this too about the acknowledgement. We acknowledge in the sixth petition that we cannot stand a moment of ourselves. And we need God. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we are confessing that we cannot stand a moment of self in the face of those enemies. Question and answer 127 uses those words. It says, which is the sixth petition? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment, preserve and strengthen us. Now, what exactly does that mean? That we cannot stand a moment of ourselves. It's important to see that so we understand how much we need to pray this sixth petition. That we cannot stand a moment of ourselves means that if we are left to self, means without the power of Christ, we will fall into sin and give in to those temptations that we face. And it means that if we continue to be left to ourselves, the evil enemies will destroy us spiritually. We will go on in sin, and we will not repent. We will forget Christ, our Savior. We will forsake Him and all His commandments, living in sin. That's what we would do if left to self. And you might think, why are we so weak that we can't stand a moment of ourselves? We're so weak because we each have a sinful nature. That sinful nature wants to go along with our enemies. During difficult times, that sinful nature says to us and wants us to think that God, He doesn't really care for you. That God really even isn't, He's not even real. There's no loving God that truly cares for you. That sinful nature wants us to do things, you young people, to do things that impress others, even if they're wrong. Sinful nature right within us says, that's right, that's the good way, do that. Left to ourselves, we would slowly then also abandon family worship and catechism and God really in all of life for the sake of fun, for the sake of more wealth. If we are left to ourselves, we would go on in sin and be destroyed spiritually. So with the sixth petition, when we pray, deliver us from evil, we are acknowledging humbly before God that we cannot stand a moment of self and that we need Him, the sovereign God. We're saying we need Thee, O great God, to protect us. So see your weaknesses today. Let's see our weaknesses and make this humble acknowledgement before God that we cannot stand a moment of self. David did that. David acknowledged that he had enemies, that he faced temptations, and he needed help from God. That's what he did in Psalm 141. May we do the same thing today, acknowledging that we need the sovereign God to protect and strengthen us. Now, what exactly do we pray with the sixth petition? We make a humble acknowledgement that we need Him. But then what exactly do the words of the sixth petition mean? In the first part of the sixth petition, we pray, lead us not into temptation. In the first part of the petition, we pray, lead us not into temptation. The first part there implies that God is sovereign over temptation. Think carefully about those words. Lead us not into temptation. We're praying that to God, saying to God, lead us or bring us not into temptation. The implication there is that God is sovereign. He sovereignly controls all the temptations that we face. Now, it must be clear that this petition does not teach that God is the author of temptation or the author of sin and responsible for it. James chapter 1 verse 13 shows that God is not the author of temptation. We read there, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Many other passages teach that God is not the author of sin. He's not responsible for it. One of the clearest passages that show that is 2 Samuel 24 verses 1 and 17 together. In 2 Samuel 24 verse 1, we read that God moved David to sin. But then verse 17, David says, I sinned. So God is sovereign. He was sovereign over that sin David committed in numbering the people in that chapter. But God was not responsible for that sin. That's why David said, I have sinned, verse 17. We also know that God cannot be the author of temptation and sin because he's holy. He is totally opposed to sin. He hates it. So this petition, lead us not into temptation, does show that God sovereignly controls temptation, but we must note from the rest of Scripture that God is not the author of temptation, is not the author of sin. He's not responsible for it. In the sixth petition, we are first asking that God would not lead us into temptation. Understand, our God does lead us into temptation sometimes and does even control all things so that we fall terribly into sin. But remember that even that is for our good. God uses those times to teach us a lesson. He uses those times to teach us that sin is a horrible thing and it's not to be played with. And it brings misery. He uses temptations to teach us lessons, but they're painful lessons. And every time we sin, it's dishonoring to God. So we pray, lead us not into temptation. And we are not praying there either that we might never face any temptations at all. We will face temptation on this earth. We live in the midst of a wicked world. The devil still lurks about as a roaring lion. And we each have a sinful nature within. We will face temptation here. With the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation. That means, God, lead us not into circumstances or situations in which we will fall. Lead us not into situations in which we will embrace the lie and fall into sin. Protect us. Control the circumstances of life so that we're not led into situations in which we will fall into sin. Sometimes, oh God, thou dost use that to teach us, but that's a very difficult way, a very hard way. Father, may we not have to learn the hard way. Lead us not into temptation. That's the first part of the petition. The second part of the petition is, deliver us from evil. What's the meaning of those words? Well, deliver there means rescue. Kids, you can remember that. Every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, that word deliver, you know, it just means rescue us. Rescue us from evil. And evil refers to sin and all the enemies that try to bring us into sin. Rescue us from those evil enemies that try to bring us into sin and destruction. When we pray that sixth petition, we are praying for deliverance right now. We're also praying for complete deliverance, as we'll see in a moment, but we are praying for deliverance now. We're asking that when we do face temptation now, that God would deliver us by protecting us. Question and answer 127 uses the word preserve to describe this petition. We read, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou therefore preserve us by the power of thy Holy Spirit." Preserve there has the idea of protect. With the sixth petition, we are asking God, we're saying, God, when we face temptation, protect us by thy Holy Spirit so that we do not fall into temptation and embrace the lie. We pray really what David did in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 141. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Protect me." And with the sixth petition, we are also asking that God deliver us by strengthening us to say no to sin and yes to Him. So deliver us means protect and strengthen. Question and answer 127 uses that verb. Says, "Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes." So when we are tempted to believe that God is not caring for us in the midst of difficulty, we pray, "Lord, deliver me from those wrong thoughts. Deliver me from any wrong words too. Strengthen me to trust in thee, that thy way is good." When we're tempted to live like the wicked world and rely on ourselves, or tempted to live in the sins that the wicked world promotes or that our sinful nature especially likes, when we're tempted to walk in any of those ways, and we know those temptations, you experienced them last week, you'll experience them this week. When we experience those temptations, pray, "Lord, deliver me from evil. Strengthen me to say no to that sin and yes to thee right now. Lord, I need the strength." When we're tempted to exalt certain entertainments or our jobs or games or anything, we're tempted to exalt those things above the proper spiritual priorities. When we feel that happening in our homes, pray, "Lord, deliver us. Strengthen us to set the spiritual focus of our home rightly. Deliver us from all evil. Strengthen us." The child of God prays that Jehovah would even use the rebuke of fellow believers to protect and strengthen him. Verse 5 of Psalm 141, David prays in the midst of this prayer for deliverance. He says, "Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness." The idea of that phrase is, let the fellow people of the church rebuke me and show me my errors when I walk in them. Let them come to me and help me walk in the Lord's ways. So part of the sixth petition, part of your prayer for deliverance today and this week, pray that the people of the church would be used to help you, to help in this protection of you from the evil ways and the devil. In this petition, we pray for deliverance right now. We also pray for final deliverance from evil. Question and answer 127 ends this way. It says, we pray that we may constantly and strenuously resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. During this life, we will never experience that complete victory over our enemies. Our enemies are still around us, the world and the devil. We still have a sinful nature in us, and we will as long as we walk on this earth. But when we pray, deliver us from evil, we're praying for deliverance now, but also for complete deliverance from those enemies and sin. We're praying that we may enjoy a complete deliverance in heaven. For in heaven, there will be no wicked world, there will be no devil. In heaven, when we get there, our sinful nature will have been abolished. We will perfectly say yes to God and no to sin all the time. In this petition, deliver us from evil, we're praying that we might be brought to that complete deliverance in heaven. Today and every day, pray for that deliverance. Pray for that deliverance. Pray desperately for it. Remember this week, if we are left to ourselves, we will fall into miserable sin. And we will continue in it. Sin is displeasing to God, and sin is a miserable way for us. It is. There's no joy for those who are giving into temptation and walking in those sins. That's the way of misery. That's the way of being far from the... When one walks that way, he feels far from the Lord. Those who continue in those sins are on the path to destruction. So pray desperately for deliverance and strengthening. David prayed desperately for it. You see that in verse 1. Psalm 141, verse 1, he says, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. By God's grace, David saw his great need for Jehovah's help, and he cried out for it. He desperately wanted Jehovah's help so that he might live thankfully to his God. Now, may we do the same thing this week by God's power. You don't have to use the exact words of the sixth petition. Every day, you don't have to say those exact words of the sixth petition, but every day, many times per day, do pray the idea of the sixth petition. Pray for protection and strengthening. Acknowledge that you can't stand a moment on your own. Pray that God would strengthen your trust in Jesus Christ, and that then you may go forward living in thankfulness for that great Savior. When you feel that temptation coming, when you know it's coming, pray it. Lord, deliver me from this evil now. Strengthen me. Think of yourself as a soldier in the foxhole, praying repeatedly for protection. You think about those soldiers. Kids, you think about having all these enemies coming at you, and you're in a foxhole, and they have their guns. They're coming at you. Get down in that hole. You try to have some protection. You're crying out to God for protection of your life. Well, this week, think of the devil coming after you. That's what he's doing, trying to destroy you. And you cry out to God, Lord, protect me. Lord, strengthen me. Pray it every day, many times per day. And know this, finally, this morning, God is able and he's willing to answer this prayer. He's able. He's able to answer this prayer and provide protection and strength. In Psalm 141, verse 8, David calls God Lord. In the midst of his prayers for protection, he prays, Lord, help me. That name Lord there means that God is the ruler over all things. But the idea of the name also is that he's the ruler over our enemies. He's more powerful than they are, and he controls them. Jesus, who is God and Lord, showed that he is ruler over these enemies when he resisted all the temptations that the devil brought to him. Now God, the ruler, he is able to answer our prayer and deliver us from evil. As the one who controls all things, he is able to keep those enemies from destroying us spiritually. As the one who controls all things, the Lord, He is able to strengthen us to say no to sin and yes to God, even regarding our pet sins. God is able to answer our prayer. He's the Lord. But it's not just that He's able to answer. He is willing to answer this prayer of ours for protection and strength. He's willing to answer as our friend in Christ. He's willing to answer as our friend in Christ. He was David's friend in Christ. He's our friend in Christ. Throughout the psalm, we read that David called God Lord. So there's Lord with lowercase letters in verse 8, but the rest of the psalm uses the name Lord with uppercase letters in your King James Version. And that every time that name Lord is in all uppercase letters in the King James Version, the name there in the original language is Jehovah. And David uses that name, that beautiful name, for a reason in this psalm. That name is the name that especially emphasizes God's friendship with His people. The name means I am. It was the name that God used to reveal Himself to His covenant friends throughout the entire Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 3, when Moses said to God, "Who should I tell the people sent me to bring them out of Egypt?" God said, "Tell them the I am sent you. Tell them Jehovah sent you." The idea being, their unchanging, faithful friend sent you, Moses. Tell them that. It's the name that emphasizes God's the unchanging, faithful friend of His people. And David used that name, God, as one who knew God as his friend personally. God had worked in David to believe in Him and in the Messiah to come for all of his salvation. David was God's friend, and he knew it. And we're God's friends too. We believe in Jesus for all of our salvation. We believe only because God's worked in us, because we're His friends, covenant friends. We even speak to Him and talk to Him this morning here at His house. And Jehovah was David's friend. He's our friend only based on Christ's work. Apart from Christ's work on the cross, we could not be friends with the holy God. We could not dwell in communion with Him. But based on what Christ has done at the cross, or for David, based on what Christ would do, David was God's friend. And based on what Christ has done for us, we're God's friends. Now, God, who is our friend, for Jesus' sake, He is willing to provide protection and strengthening to us. He's willing to provide all we need. He will never give us over to our enemies to be destroyed spiritually. Our sovereign friend will protect us and strengthen us more and more to say no to sin and yes to God. And when we do fall into sin, our sovereign friend will strengthen us to see that sin and repent. He will bring us all the way to glory, where we will dwell in perfect covenant life with God, unhindered by sin, where all those enemies are gone. He'll bring us there. He will answer this prayer, the sixth petition, as our friend who sees us in Christ. And understand, He's pleased to provide this protection and strengthening in the way of us praying for it. God is pleased when we lean on Him in prayer and rely on Him for strength. And so it's in the way of prayer. You could say, as we pray for strength, God is pleased to strengthen us truly to say no to sin and yes to Him. He answers this prayer as our friend in Christ, whom He sees and has washed in the blood. So knowing your enemies this morning, pray this sixth petition. Pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And know assuredly that God, He will answer our prayers and provide for us for the sake of our Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thee, and we pray this morning for deliverance from all evil. Lord, protect us. Strengthen us to say no to sin and yes to thee. Lord, we each face many temptations every week. This week, may we be those who are leaning upon thee as we face these temptations, crying out to thee wherever we are, Lord, help. We pray that thou bless us through the word. In Jesus' name, amen.